This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Conaway Haskins, his blog is South of the James, and he also is a student in the Political Leaders Program at the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership. And tell me about your blogging experience, because there's a lot of folks out there who blog or who read blogs. There's a lot of folks who don't know the first thing about them.
Yeah, well, you know, I think after this past Senate election, I think the number of people who don't know the first thing about blogs is probably a little bit smaller, just because of all the stuff that happened.
Right.
My blog in particular, you know, I like to focus on, you know, all things political in, you know, Metro Richmond, which is where I live, but also in the state. And sometimes I do stuff, you know, on the national political scene, too, but mostly a lot of state and local, because Virginia is really rich. Stuff to write about.
Right, right. Now, you've also been writing on your blog, you've been very outspoken that bloggers, especially here in Virginia, need to form some type of an association to, for the purposes of what? To sort of raise the standards, right? Raise the bar?
Well, I mean, that's part of it, is to raise the bar. I think the biggest thing that, one of the biggest criticisms of blogging, and it particularly comes from the folks in the media, which, you know, we can always look at what their motivations are for doing that. But at the same time, you know, one of the biggest criticisms of blogging is that, you know, we don't have a uniform or, you know, universal set of standards, like, you know, at least the folks in the media have, you know, with the Society for Professional Journalists and other types of membership associations. And I think there is, you know, sort of a core constituency of bloggers in Virginia specifically, you know, who are trying to, you know, become more credible as, you know, sources of information, but also as, you know, as opinion writers and that sort of thing. And so I think, you know, this idea has been bandied about for a while, for a few years now. It's been slapped down quite a bit by a lot of folks who like the Wild West nature of blogging, where you can pretty much say anything or do anything. But I figure, you know, it was worth putting the discussion out there, especially given, you know, the key role that we played in the 2006 election on both sides of the aisle.
Conaway Haskins, our guest. The blog is South of the James. What's been the reception to this, to your raising this subject, both positive and negative?
On the positive side, I mean, quite a few of the, you know, major bloggers in the state, you know, like Ben Tribbett of Not Larry Sabatow, Norm Leahy over at One Man's Trash, Jim Bacon. You know, some of those folks that, you know, really some of the big time, big names in Virginia's blogosphere, have been relatively receptive and really positive, you know, about wanting to have some kind of, you know, self-imposed standards, not, you know, trying to go out and make other people do as anyone wishes for them, but, you know, that if you so choose voluntarily, you can take on this, you know, code of ethics or some common code, that runs throughout. You know, on the negative side, you know, a lot of people don't like the idea. You know, when it's been proposed before, I know it was sort of talked about at both of the Sorensen blogging summits, and a lot of folks just don't like it. They feel like, you know, someone's trying to tell them what to do. They feel like, you know, that blogging is creative and it is something that, because it doesn't have a lot of rules and because there aren't a lot of standards, you can get more participation. And I definitely, you know, understand that. I wouldn't take, you know, serious issue with those arguments. It's just that I think that those of us who want to move forward ought to try to do it.
Conaway Haskins is our guest, writer and blogger in Richmond. Let's talk about an article that you had published recently in the Richmond Style Weekly, which got a lot of attention and a lot of folks talking about it. The article was titled Red, Blue, and Black. What was that about?
Well, that was, you know, I wanted to address sort of the issue that we constantly hear about, you know, that the folks in the black community feel that the Democratic Party is taking them for granted. It's something that happened a lot, particularly around, you know, 2000 and 2004 elections. It heated up a bit in Virginia with the Webb campaign, but also with, you know, with Senator Lambert, who's a Democrat and one of the senior Democrats in the General Assembly, going over and supporting Senator Allen. And several people had chimed in about that. And I just wanted to try to take a step back and just look at what the numbers actually said, look at some of the facts around it, and let people sort of decide for themselves.
And what did you find out? Is the Democratic Party taking advantage of the of African Americans?
Well, I mean, I have to say up front, I'm a Democrat, so you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm, you know, a totally objective source of information. I think if you look at what the Virginia Democratic Party currently is doing, if you look at the statistic that I pointed to, is looking at the General Assembly delegation. You know, black voters roughly represent about 30% of Democratic voters. Even though it's about 85 to 90% of the black community goes Democratic, that's the proportion that we represent inside the Democratic Party. It's almost exactly the same proportion of black members of the Democratic delegations in both houses of the General Assembly. So, you know, by that measure, you know, the argument against the Democratic Party becomes weaker. Now, I know on the local level, at the local committee levels, depending on where you are across Virginia, there are some complaints that, you know, black voters and particularly black Democrats, you know, are being taken for granted. Folks aren't really, you know, having their voices heard. You know, I won't speak for those people, but I can just look at the numbers that I saw and said that, you know, you can't make this broad sweeping argument, particularly when you look at the fact that, you know, black voters tend to vote, you know, between 10 and 20% Republican and receive relatively little in terms of, you know, electoral success from the Republican Party.
And what's been, what was the, because I know in the article you also looked at the Republican Party vis-a-vis the African-American voters and African-American population in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are no black members of the General Assembly that are in the Republican Party. There are no black members of Virginia's congressional delegation on Capitol Hill that are Republicans. You know, there are very few black Republican elected office holders around the state. Now, people will say, you know, elected office is not the key indicator. There are also, you know, how many people are participating in committees, and, you know, we can get into all kinds of discussions on that. But, you know, in a political system, the people in office are at the top of the food chain. And I think that's a real indicator of a party's commitment to, you know, having different folks up there and a diversity of representation. And in terms of that, you know, the Republican Party does not have a good record on that, and they'll be the first to admit that, the ones that are honest about it.
Conaway Haskins is our guest. He's a blogger and writer in Richmond. The blog is South of the James. He wrote a recent article in the Richmond Style Weekly titled Red, Blue, and Black. It's available online at the Richmond Style Weekly. What was the reaction that you had to this article from folks?
It was mostly positive. You know, a lot of, you know, of course, a lot of my Democratic friends were very happy to see that. A lot of people hadn't really thought of it in terms of looking at the actual numbers like that. You know, a lot of folks, even on the Republican side, you know, they weren't necessarily pleased that I wrote it, but, you know, they sort of agreed with the basic tenets that I was pushing, and then they said, you know, yeah, they've got more work to do. So I think, you know, in general, I think it was a pretty positive reaction.
And let's talk about the turnout of black voters here in Virginia in the recent election. I know one of the strategic political motivations to put the marriage amendment on the ballot was to get out more socially conservative voters in the hopes that they would support George Allen when they got to the booth, who was also on the ballot at the same time. But it seems to have been that a lot of black voters split their vote, went for the marriage amendment, yes, but then voted for Webb.
Yeah, I think I saw something where it said about 55 to 60% of black voters voted for the amendment, but about 90% voted for Webb. So, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there was a split, and I think that, you know, ironically, that, you know, the turnout that was driven up for the marriage amendment in the black community also ended up helping Jim Webb. And I think it backfired on, you know, the conservatives who actually wanted to bring out black voters and possibly have them vote for George Allen.
There's also, we in all this discussion, we shouldn't forget about Paul Harris, of course, who was in the House of Delegates from our area here and is now working in Northern Virginia and has his eye. I don't know what race he has his eye on, but I was talking with somebody today about what would be the chances, you think, that if Senator Warner decides not to run again, and that it really is up in the air. Nobody knows. The latest I've heard from folks who've been really looking at it is they think that he might run again. But if he doesn't, it would be interesting to see Paul Harris step in to run for that seat.
Well, I think that would be interesting. I think he'd have to fight off a whole lot of folks, including, you know, probably number one, Congressman Tom Davis out of Fairfax, who had his eyes on that seat for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I think that, you know, I'd also heard something about Harris possibly being, you know, a candidate for the Republican nomination for Attorney General in 2009, you know, something like that. I mean,
wow.
I think he does have a pretty good reputation from what I understand inside his party. But you know, he was a very short term, you know, he served for a very short time in the General Assembly.
Yeah, yeah, he was just sort of in and out. Very, very nice guy, and I'm not quite, I don't know enough about Paul's politics to say that he's, you know, which brand of Republican is he? A sort of a moderate Republican who seemed to be moving in now into favor nationally, or a socially conservative Republican that's, you know, the God, gays, guns, abortion type of Republican?
Yeah, and I don't know what he is right now. You know, I don't know. I think that a lot of folks on that side of the aisle are going to start reassessing which kind of Republican they should be.
Yeah. What are you working on now, Conaway?
I'm just working on, you know, just several different pieces. I'm trying to, you know, get away from the, you know, all politics all the time. I just look at a little bit of things about life going on around, you know, around Richmond. Some things just going on in Virginia broadly. Even thinking about maybe writing about some restaurants I've eaten at lately.
There you go. You know, spoken like a true blogger.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime.
Conaway Haskins, his blog is South of the James, and he also is a student in the Political Leaders Program at the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia, where I hang my hat during the day.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.